We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Free from Sin. And that's one of the greatest things you'll ever hear. That's why you're not going to hell. Anybody happy about not going to hell? We should be. Huh? Because the wages or the pay of sin is death. And he's not just talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. He's talking about separation from God, who is life. But thank God, we won't be separated from Him. And we are going to spend eternity with our Father, with light, with life. And it's because the sin problem has been dealt with. Jesus has done it all. Go with me to Romans, please, the sixth chapter, Romans 6. And let's look further at this. Now, we've got several messages on this prior to this one. If you go online, they're all there, available at no charge, and you can catch up with us. Romans 6, he said, verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And verse 2, what's the answer? God forbid. In other words, what are you thinking that way for? What do you mean? No. Just because we're under grace, that doesn't mean it's okay to sin. Right. And that you can just do whatever you want to and it doesn't make any difference. That's God forbid. Why? Because we're not free to sin. We are dead to sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, like I've said every time, get these phrases in your mouth. Say it out loud. I am dead to sin.
Dead to sin.
Now, what a difference that is from I can't quit.
That's right. Yeah.
Huh? This gives God something to work with.
Amen.
And it closes the door on the enemy. Don't say, I can't help it. I can't quit. Say what God says about you.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Regardless of how it looks or how you feel, say it again,
I am dead to sin.
He said, verse 4, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Said out loud, I'm dead to sin.
I'm dead to sin.
I don't serve sin.
I don't serve sin.
I'm free from sin.
From sin.
Now, surely as you say that, your memory, your head, your flesh will say, no, you're not. Don't you remember what you did? No, you're not. You say, shut up. Shut up. God knows what he's talking about. And whether I understand it or not, I'm setting myself in agreement with what he has said Jesus has accomplished. Why did Jesus go to the cross? He became sin. He was made to be sin with our sin. That we might be made his righteousness. Now, he didn't commit sin. And we don't, we're not accepted because we committed enough righteousness. He was made sin. And those that receive him are made, didn't earn it. Didn't work for it, didn't deserve it, and yet you were made. Made right.
Yes.
in God's sight. Somebody say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. In that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, in the same way, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody said out loud, I am dead.
I am dead.
I count myself. Dead indeed. To sin. But I'm alive. To God. Through Jesus Christ. My Lord. And verse 14, he had said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So I am dead to sin. I am free from sin. I don't serve sin, and sin shall not have dominion over me. Is that scripture?
Yes.
Did we read it?
Yes.
Well, then receive it for yourself. Speak it over yourself. And when you least feel like it is when you most need to say it. That's walking by faith, not by sight. Now, in several lessons back, messages back, we talked about what sin is. And I want to review that a little bit. There are four specific places in the New Testament that say that this specific thing is sin. And I want to go over those again. You don't have to turn to all these, but 1 John 3 and 4. 1 John 3 and 4 says, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So this is a New Testament definition of sin, and it's referring to the Old Testament. Just take the Ten Commandments, for instance. That's part of the law. Well, is it still wrong to lie?
Yes.
Or to steal?
Yes.
Or to worship other gods?
Yes.
Or to covet somebody else's things?
Yes.
Well, if the law says that, and if you're doing that, well, that's sin.
Right.
But the scripture also says here in Romans, what is it, third chapter or so, it says, by the law is the knowledge of sin, and that sin is not imputed where there is no law.
Right.
Now listen to that phrase, by the law is what?
Knowledge.
Everybody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Knowledge of sin. Well, what's the root word of knowledge?
No.
And you'll find every one of these deal with what you know. Everybody awake?
Yes.
This is really important. Sin is violation of what you know. In every case. 1 John 5:17 says, all unrighteousness is sin. Well, righteousness is an old English word for rightness. And basically it's this, everything that's not right is sin. Well, in order for you to transgress that, you'd have to know what's right. Can you see that? In order for you to transgress the law, you'd have to know the law. And in order for you to violate what's right, you'd have to know what is right. And then in James 4:17 just says it that way. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that what?
Knows.
Everybody say knows.
Knows.
Are we seeing a theme here?
Yeah.
Knoweth, knowledge, knowing. To him that knows to do good, and does it not, to him it is what?
Sin.
It's sin. Sin to who?
To
to the one that knew it, that knows it. Now listen to this in Romans 14 and 23. Romans 14 and 23 is another definition of sin, New Testament definition. He that doubts is damned if he eat. Now that's King James. The word damned is the word condemned. Condemned if he eat. Because he eats not of faith. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. Well, does that have anything to do with what you know? Well, let's back up. He that doubts is condemned. Put that up in the Amplified if we have that, please. Amplified. It says, if any the man has doubts, misgivings, and uneasy conscience. Do you hear that word?
Yes.
Conscience. About eating and then eats, stands condemned. See, that's the word he uses instead of damned. Condemned because he's not true to his convictions and doesn't act from faith. For whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. Whatever is done without a conviction of its approval by God. So when people talk about, well, it's a gray area, then for you, it's sin. Huh? If you can't do it in confidence that God's okay with it, come on, y'all with me? Then you can't do it without sinning. Because something's bugging you about it. Or you wouldn't even think about it. Oh, we're getting somewhere now. Huh? Did you hear that? That's where the rubber hit the road, right there. But this is great. These are answers. And the truth will do what for you? The truth will make you free. So no, I hear that sometimes. Every time I hear people talk about that, well, you know, that's a gray area. I cringe when I hear that. I think, no, ain't no gray areas. You either know.
You don't.
And if you don't know, you better stay out of it.
Amen.
I said, you better stay out of it. Or otherwise, you're going to hurt your own conscience. And to do that is to damage your ability to hear from God. And to damage your ability to believe God. Are y'all with me? With your heart. With the heart. Man believes. So anything that affects your heart affects your believing, your ability to have faith. Are y'all okay? Go with me, if you would, to Romans, the second chapter, I believe it is. Thanks be to God. Romans 2 and 14. Romans 2 and 14 says, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Now, what's he talking about? If you're born again, even though you had never heard the Ten Commandments or anything about the law given to Moses or any of that, you got the author of the book now living on the inside of you. And if you'll learn to listen to him, you won't violate the things that the law was given to curb. You will automatically do things. You know, if you start to lie, then the Spirit of God will check you. Don't do that. And maybe you never heard you shall not lie or bear false witness, and yet you got the author of the book inside you. Now notice the very next verse. Very next verse. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their what?
Conscience.
Conscience also bearing witness. And then it tells you how it works. Their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. Now the word conscience means co-knowing. Co-knowing. And it has to do, well, with knowing is awareness. Y'all are quiet. A knowing with, a co-awareness, a co-perception. Why? Because when you're born again, you're not alone. There's someone else who lives inside you. And so he causes you to know things that he knows. Not everything that he knows. That's why Revelation is called a word of wisdom. Not even a paragraph. A word of knowledge. What is that? A word is a fragment, a part of a sentence. And so we couldn't handle the Lord telling us everything. Our head would just go, whoop. We're like, huh? You just... And he knows how to feed it to us at the right way and the right time. But it's always up to us whether we heed it or whether we ignore it. Our conscience is the voice, if you will, of our spirit. The word voice is not the perfect word. It's a knowing.
It is.
Knowing. It's not about hearing voices. It's about knowing. But the great thing, as the Holy Spirit, let's read this again. In verse, that last verse, 15, the law is written in their hearts, their conscience, which is, how you hear your own heart, bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In your heart, if you have a thought and it's right, the Holy Spirit will confirm it.
Amen.
He's in you. Huh? If you have a thought and it's wrong, the Holy Spirit will not confirm it. He'll refute what you're thinking is right that's actually wrong. And so that's where the accusing or excusing. It's agreement or disagreement. But you'll only be aware of this if you pay attention to your own heart. Huh? You'll only be aware of this if you pay attention to your own heart. When you're born again, you are immediately aware. The Bible said that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how you know you're saved. Sometimes you ask people, well, how do you know you're saved? Well, I just know. How do you? Well, that's actually scriptural. How do you know? You actually have somebody else inside you confirming it. You're going, I'm saved. And he goes, you sure are. You better believe that. You got the Holy Spirit confirming what you know in your own heart. Co-witness. Come on, can you see that? That is your conscience. That's your conscience. The co-witness. You won't find virtually anything said about the conscience in the Old Testament. Why? They're not born again. Right? They're not born again. The Holy Spirit does not dwell inside them. They didn't have that. Aren't we blessed? I said, aren't we? How many glad you weren't born thousands of years ago? For one thing, you wouldn't be in Florida probably with no air conditioning. Somebody should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look in the 9th chapter of Romans. Romans 9 and 1. 9 and 1, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience, what? Bearing me witness. Now that's a knowing. In the Holy Spirit. Now tell me again, where did we start with this? What is sin? Violating what you know. Violating what you know. If we're going to get free from sin, and we're going to live free from sin, doesn't mean you get to the point where you could never make a mistake again. That means you lost your free will. No, but you can get free. And you can stay free. Long as you want to be. But it'll be based on the grace of God. It'll take the grace. Anybody agree with that? It'll take the grace of God. And you know who gets the grace? The humble. And one of the key qualities of a humble person is honesty. That is one of the main characteristics. You show me a humble person, I will show you an honest person. That's another series. But study it. See what I'm talking about. Tell me who gets the grace, who gets the help? Not the proud. Not the haughty. And a characteristic of pride is lying. The Bible said, the pride in Obadiah 3, I believe it is, it says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. There's deception and pride go hand in hand. Well, for one thing, pride's the nature of the devil. And what is he? The father of lies. Right? And to get free and live free, it takes the grace and help of God. But the only people who get that are the humble. And the humble are honest. Y'all okay? Hebrews 13, put that on the 13:18, if we'd put that up on the screen for us. He says, Hebrews 13:18, he said, pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience. In all things, willing to live what? Honestly. Does that have anything to do with having a good conscience? Yes. Obviously. There it is, right? Yes. Honestly. You got to be honest about what you know. Okay. Amen. One of the things you'll see is when people get caught doing something wrong, they start making excuses. They start going, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. And so many times, just lying. Just lying. What's the problem with that? Well, you won't get grace. And you're not repenting. And so you won't get free. And that's how people get stuck in the same sin for decades at a time. Because they never repented. Never gotten the help. Everybody say, honest.
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 What does that mean? Huh? You got to be honest about what you know, about what you've seen, about what you understand, about what you've done, about what you haven't done. You got to be honest. Remember 1 John 1? If we confess. Right? Confess our sin. He's faithful and just. And you hear people try to imply, well, it's not necessary because Jesus has already paid for it. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Why is 1 John there then? No, Jesus has already paid for it. But that doesn't mean you have received it. Oh, come on, are you with me or not? You got to receive it. But well, I've already received Jesus. Yeah, but if you messed up, you need to receive forgiveness. You need to receive cleansing. You may need to receive washing. Well, if you hadn't done anything wrong, you're not repenting. You're not receiving anything. If you're hiding it and covering it and acting like you didn't know, you're stuck. You're stuck in condemnation. Stuck. Powerless. You got to be honest. After 40-some years of ministry, Phyllis and I talk about this sometimes. Give me a sinner who knows they're a sinner. Any day of the week, over a self-righteous, lying churchgoer, huh? Playing games, won't admit anything. I'm telling you, because the person will come and go, yeah, I did it. Yeah, it was wrong. Yeah, I know it. That person's going to get free. That person is going to get some help. But the person that hides and covers and makes excuses, well, they didn't tell me and I didn't know. God knows that you knew. So now you're compounding sin. Whatever you did, now you're adding deception to it. And I'm telling you, God hates lies. I didn't say liars. He hates lying. He hates it. And you need to hate whatever He hates. Right? But the good news is the price has been paid. If you will acknowledge, that's what confess means, if you will acknowledge what you know, and come to Him, you can be clean. You can be free. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go to 1 Timothy 4. Is this okay today? 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That means they were in the faith. You can't leave something if you were never there. Giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now he's not talking about going to a Satanist church. He's talking about supposed to be a God church. Verse 2. What's the problem? Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Now, is that acting like you don't know when you do? Acting like you know when you don't? Whatever the case is, lying and hypocrisy, what's the result? Having their conscience, what?
Seared
with a hot iron. Is that a bad thing?
Yes.
That, brother, sister, is one of the worst things that could happen to you and me. What do you mean? Well, sear, like with a hot iron. That's like a branding iron. So what happens if you take a red hot branding iron and you stick it against your hand or against your arm or something? Well, it's going to cook. It's going to sear that skin. Well, then what happens to that skin? It's scar tissue, and it can be damaged to the point where it is thick and insensitive. Oh, did you hear that now? Insensitive, unfeeling, and insensitive. Well, our conscience is how we communicate with the Holy Spirit on the inside. And if you got a seared conscience, what's your condition? You can be to where God is speaking at you, even raising His voice to you, and you don't hear it. You don't even hear it. Is that a bad case to be in? How can you get there? How would you get there? Back up to the first part of the verse. How do you get there? Look at the verse again. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Now, I wish I could tell you that, you know, we're mostly talking about people outside the church. that tell lies. But oh dear me. I've had preachers look me right in the eye and lie to me. The world around us is full of deception, full of hypocrisy, full of lie. It is so pervasive that most people hardly notice it when it's going on. But it is so devilish. It is one of the most satanic, devilish things that there is. And like we said, God hates it. And it is impossible for God to lie. Yes, right. You can't be a liar and be like God. You got to repent. You got to change. Let me tell you some good news, though. Somebody looked like they needed some right now. When Phyllis and I first got married, we got married real young, and I got a job working on the freight docks loading freight. And we worked, brother. I mean, we would stack recliners four high by hand. I mean, we would carry giant, loads on two-wheelers and that kind of thing. And when you do that, it puts calluses on your hands. And some of the guys that had been there working on those docks for years, I know one guy, he'd sit there at lunchtime, he had a little pen knife, and he'd cut in his hand and wouldn't even feel it. Thick and unfeeling. So after a few years of that, I had calluses. Thick and unfeeling. But you know what now? I got little baby preacher hands. I got no calluses at all. None. No calluses at all. What am I saying? Even though you seared your conscience, oh come on, even though you got yourself insensitive, you can get healed. You can be restored. You can get sensitive again. But you got to stop lying. You got to stop acting like, you don't know. When you do, you got to stop all that junk and tell the truth and be honest, even when it makes you look bad. Did you do that? Yep. How come? Dumb? Didn't listen? Rebellious? Don't make excuses. Don't blame other people, right? Why? This is how you get grace. This is how you get help. This is how you come out. How you stay out. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Thank you, Lord. Look with me. Go if you would to... I tell you what, go to Galatians 5 right now, and then we'll look at Ephesians. You got a few more minutes. Don't want to short you. Ephesians 4 and 26. Then I think instead of the other, we'll go to John 8 after that. So Ephesians 4, 26, and then John 8. Ephesians 4, 26 says, be angry, and what? No. Cuss everybody out. Give them a piece of your mind, just like you could afford to part with some. Be angry and what?
Sin.
Do you have to sin because you got mad?
No.
Huh?
No.
Yeah, but what if you get really mad?
No.
Huh?
No.
You hear people say, well, I just got so mad I couldn't help it. I didn't know what I was doing. Man, you need to be delivered. You have yielded to wrong spirits. Bad. Who's driving if you don't know what you're doing? This should never be said about a child of God. It's your mind. It's your mouth. It's your hands. It's your feet. And again, that's some of the thing we're talking about. People act like they didn't know. You know, sometimes you hear about men hitting their wives. I just got so mad. I couldn't help it. And you'd like to get them real mad beside a 300-pound football player. And see if you slap him. You notice, some way or another, they can control themselves around them. But their little wife, they're going to hit them. Uh-uh. They know what they're doing. Huh? They're lying, which is why you remain in sin. Stay there. No. Be angry, but what? How will that happen? You ever been mad? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. You ever been up real mad? Real upset? Well, then there's the impulse of the flesh that prompts you to say something or slap somebody or whatever the case might be. But you got somebody else. Oh, y'all with me or not? You got somebody else on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit, He'll say, no. Don't you do that. Be quiet. And it's your choice, it's my choice, which one we yield to. I'm talking about how not to sin. Are y'all with me? The flesh is pushing you. Wrong spirits are pushing you. But the Holy Spirit goes, you know better. No, you know better. You know better. You know better. There's been a time or two, not many, thank the Lord, but over, 40, 50 years, there's been a time or two I got kind of hot. I know it might be hard to believe, but I did. And it came up on me. And, I used to do some sport fighting, too. So, let's skip that. But one time, it was on years ago on a flight, and a guy had done some things he should have never done. And, it just went all over me. And the Spirit of God, just like that, He said, "Do you want to be on the front page of the paper tomorrow?" Preacher does this. And I'm like, "No, I don't. No, I don't want to be on the..." The Holy Spirit, He did it just that quick. He said, "You want to be on the front page of the paper tomorrow?" I said, no, I don't. No, I don't. And so I was able to calm myself down and be angry, but not sin. Not sin. Are y'all okay? In John, the 8th chapter, John chapter 8 is when they brought the woman that was taken and caught in the act of adultery. And they threw her down in front of Jesus. This is ugly in so many ways, And hypocrisy. Judging, hypocrisy. How many know you can't commit adultery by yourself? Right? Where's the man? They caught her in the act. Where's the man? Probably one of their buddies, probably somebody they knew. John 8 and 9, when the Lord, stooped down and wrote on the ground, and then He stood up and He said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast or throw the first stone." And then He stooped back down. And you'll see from the rest of this passage, He said what God gave Him to say. And then He left them with their own conscience and the Holy Spirit. And we need to be aware of this. There are a lot of times when Christians and believers like ourselves should have quit talking. We said enough, and we should have stopped trying to show people or make them see it or make them understand it. They heard it. They know it. Leave them with the Holy Spirit and their own conscience. And so He did, and the Bible said, verse 9, they that heard it, being convicted by what? By their own conscience. Huh? To what? He said, he that's without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. And then he turned away from them and bent down again, started writing on the ground. And they're standing there. Are you without sin? You know, and probably some of the people in the crowd go, you know, they're looking at him with daggers going, I know you, you sorry rascal. Don't you dare pick up a rock, you know. But that wasn't what moved them. It was what was happening inside them. In their own conscience, they knew this is not right. They knew. Knew. It's about what they knew. They knew how many times and places they had missed it themselves. Certainly, they are not without sin. They are not in any place to judge this woman. This whole thing's a setup. Somebody needs to repent for this. Setting this up, lying, you know, exposing this woman like this, shaming her like this. Somebody needs to be repenting for this. But one by one, beginning at the eldest, you know, you lived longer, you made more mistakes, to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Is conscience important,
yes.
Church? What is your conscience? It's co-knowing. It's awareness. And it is the Holy Spirit either confirming or telling us no, right, about things, excusing or excusing, accusing or excusing. Thoughts that come to us. And if we're going to live free and walk free, it'll be because when something came up, we didn't yield to the flesh. We yielded to the Spirit. Come on, can you see this? Be angry and what?
Sin.
But you don't have to sin.
Right?
You don't just fly off the handle. You don't just run off at the mouth. We're Christians. Huh? Let me ask these folks over here. You never cuss people out. Ever. Are y'all with me or not? Never. There's no excuse for that. Slapping people? Hitting people? Never. Are y'all with me or not? Yeah, but I got so mad. I just explained to you I got mad one time too. Huh? No. No. We have the ability, instead of just yielding to our flesh, to listen to the one inside us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look in Romans, the 8th chapter. We started out, you know, in Romans 6. Romans 6 and 7 talks about what the Lord has done for us and being made sin and how that everything that happened with Him actually happened for us. It happened for us and with us. We are crucified with Him. We are buried with Him. We are raised with Him, which is why we can say we're free. It's all because of what He did. But no, these chapters, this 5, 6, 7, comes to a culmination in chapter 8. In chapter 7, you hear the expression of every human being that's living right now. Paul says, the things I want to do, I wind up not doing. And things I didn't want to do, I wind up doing. He said, who's going to deliver me? From this? And then, are you there? Look in chapter Romans 8 and 1, but back up to the previous verse. This wasn't written in chapter and verse, whatever it is, 7, 25, is that what it is? Can y'all put that up for us? 7, 25, 24, put that up, 24. 7:24. He said, wretched man, that I am? Who will deliver me from the body of this death? See, that's what he was saying. If you're Christ, if you belong to him, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is alive because of righteousness. When we got born again, our bodies didn't get born again. Our bodies didn't change at all. We got the same kind of body that unbelievers have. And it will do anything you let it do. Is the man on the inside that got changed? And that's what he said, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? This body that wants to sin. Right. Verse 25, I thank God.
Yes.
Somebody say, I thank God.
Through Jesus Christ,
my Lord.
My Lord.
That's who delivered me. That's who helped me. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of Christ, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And the next verse, 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Isn't it what we've been talking about, though? Be angry, but don't sin. Cussing and slapping, that's yielding to the flesh. Right? Restraining yourself, listening to the Holy Spirit on the inside, that's walking after the Spirit. Can you see that? Verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life, Spirit, Holy Spirit, Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Free from the law. How am I free from sinning in the flesh all the time? Because I got the greater one living on the inside me. The Holy Spirit shows me what to do, even gives me the strength to do it. So I don't yield to the flesh all the time. I'm walking in the Spirit instead of yielding to the flesh. It's made me free from the law of sin and death. And really, this continues. Read the next couple of verses, because the whole half of this chapter is saying the next thing. Verse 3. What the law couldn't do is weak through the flesh. God sending his own son, the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Next couple of verses. They that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. But if you're after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And keep going. To be carnally minded is death. That's flesh. Carnal is flesh. Flesh-minded, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, you got to remember, he's been talking about sin for the previous three chapters. He didn't just radically change to a different subject. He's still talking about that. And so he says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. It can't be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. He's talking about yielding to the flesh. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You hadn't been born again. But if Christ is in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit's alive because of righteousness. Verse 12, we're not debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Verse 14, as many as are what?
Led
by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. That's that co-witness. That co-witness that we are the children of God. That's the, when the Spirit of God reveals to you as a lost person, that you are lost, that you need Christ, and helps you to come to him. Well, the moment you're born again, that's the first thing the Holy Spirit does for you. He lets you know you are a child of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we are supposed to remain sensitive to this conscience, to this co-witnessing, because if he can let you know you're a child of God, What else can he let you know? Oh, come on. Can you see this? He can let you know the answer to 10,000 things every day by the same mechanism if you won't sear it. If you'll be honest and keep yourself clear. Keep your conscience clear. Stand on your feet, everybody.